Today we're going to continue with our series that I started last week called Who Are You, Lord? I'm really excited about this series. I think I'm more excited about this series than I've been about a series for a while, to be honest with you. And today Pastor Anatoly is going to share with us this morning. And if you don't know Anatoly, he's one of our pastors here at Harvest City Church. He's also one of our elders, part of the leadership team that we have here. He's a man of God. He's a good teacher of the Word of God. And I'm really excited by his message this morning. He was talking to me about it on Wednesday in my office. And I said, Anatoly, this is a great message. And so I know you're going to be encouraged. I know you're going to be blessed. So Pastor Anatoly, bring the heat.
All right. Thank you, Joel. Good morning, Harvest City Church. Oh, no, you're there. You know, I'm not a professional telepreacher, so if I don't look at the right camera, just forgive me. I'm not as good as Joel. And, you know, I actually share what Joel just said. I'm very excited about this series. And today my message called Jehovah Jireh, God who holds nothing back. But before I start going into it, let's just take a moment and let's just pray. Let's just ask Holy Spirit to speak to us. Let's just take one moment. Holy Spirit, as we go into the Word, we open our hearts and we ask you, speak to us. Reveal yourself to us so we can see you for who you are. This is a longing of our hearts, Lord, to know you more. We're thirsty and hungry for you. Our hearts are open. Speak to each and every one of us, Holy Spirit, this morning. We thank you. As we go and as we preach about who are you, Lord, there is one thing we need to keep in mind. God wants to be known. God wants to reveal himself to his children. Because true relationship only possible with someone you really know. And when we talk about knowledge, we don't talk about only head knowledge. We don't talk about something we just know in our head. But we talk about intimate knowledge of God. We talk about experiential knowledge of God. Our life and everything who we are is shaped by how we view God. Once we see him for who he really is, we just can't help but fall in love with him. And then our life, everything in our life becomes all about him, all about pursuing him. We all know God to some extent, but today God is inviting us to come closer. Come closer. He is inviting us to grow in knowing him. He never tells us everything about himself in one time. He unveils himself, and it will take forever to fully know our God. One of the ways how God reveals himself to us is through his names. And today we're studying the name Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And we will go into the Genesis chapter 22, and let's read together verses 1 to 14. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for burnt offering, he set out for a place God told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship. And then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the knife and the fire. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke and said to his father, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar. Then he arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Don't do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, it's a compound name. It consists of two parts, Jehovah and Jireh. And before we go into Jehovah Jireh, we need to understand the importance of Jehovah. What is that? What does this name mean, Jehovah? Jehovah, it's a self-revealing name of God. It's the name that God revealed himself. It's the name that God introduced himself with this name. Everything he wants us to know about him, he introduced in this name. And we all know the story when Moses met God at the burning bush, when God was telling him, Moses, I'm about to go and deliver my people. So you go and you tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And then they had a little discussion where Moses was saying, well, I'm not sure about that. Who am I to go and speak? So they had this experience. And in the middle of it, we read it in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. The name you shall call me from generation to generation. What kind of name is this? When Moses asked him, what is your name? Actually, the way it was recorded, it was God gave him four letters. And, you know, in English it would be YHWH, four letters. Nobody really knew how to even pronounce it. So to make it easier for us, people added some vowel there. So from YHWH, we have Yahweh. And then when Bible was translated into English, I don't know why you guys, English-speaking guys, you don't like words starting with Y's, so you replace it with J. So Yahweh became Jehovah. Yahweh became, so it's the same name. The best way to interpret or translate this name into English, it's I am who I am, or I exist, I present. There's so many things can be said about it, but we won't be focusing on it on this name only today. One thing I want to mention, you'll see it on a slide, that in the Bible, every time the name Jehovah mentioned, in most of the translations, you will see it recorded in English as a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord, all are capitals. Where the name Elohim is mentioned in the Bible, you will see it as a God, just G-O-D. Sometimes you will see Lord with only one L is capital. You'll have L capital and then O-R-I-D regular. It would refer to God's name Adonai. So every time you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it's a name Jehovah or his name Yahweh. You'll say, why it's important? Why? What's the difference? What's the difference between Elohim and Jehovah? Elohim, G-O-D, God, describes God's power. It describes him as a creator. The word Elohim can be translated literally as a almighty ones. And there are lots of names that compound with name Elohim. Those names start with El. El Shaddai, El Roi, El Elyon, there are El Adonai. There are so many other names that compound and based on Elohim. Yahweh or Jehovah, it's a God's personal name. It's a name that reveals his character. You can remember it like this. Elohim reveals God's ability. Jehovah reveals God's character. Elohim reveals the strength of his arm. Jehovah reveals the character of his heart. And throughout this series, we'll be looking at Jehovah names that reveal God's heart, reveal God's character. Let's look at the circumstances under which name Jehovah was introduced, because those circumstances, they give us insight into who our God is, into his character. We meet Jehovah when he is on the way to deliver his people. He saw suffering of his people, oppression, and he is going to intervene. He is going to intervene. Jehovah is a God who saves his oppressed people. He is a God who intervenes. He is a God who keeps the covenant. He is a God who remembers his promises. A couple chapters later, we read in Exodus chapter 6, God clarifying, and he says to Moses, "Moreover, I have heard the groaning of Israelites, whom Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant." Jehovah is a God who remembers his covenant. And then later we're reading this. "Therefore, say to Israelites, I am the Lord," capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which means Jehovah. "I am the Lord, and I will bring you out of under the yoke of Egyptians." And verse 7, "I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God." Through name Jehovah, God reveals himself as a relational God, as a God who is seeking relationship with you, God who is pursuing relationship, God who doesn't want to just stay apart from us, but God who is pursuing relationship. This is who Jehovah is, God who is after relationships. Now, when we laid the foundation, when we understand that, let's go back to the story of Abraham. Let's go back to Jehovah Jireh. Let's meet Jehovah Jireh. And let's understand what kind of relationship God is after. The story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 22 starts with Abraham finding himself in a contradiction. God doesn't seem to make any sense. His request to Abraham appears to contradict his promise and any common sense at all. Can you imagine what was going through Abraham's head? We don't read in the Bible that he even talked to Sarah about it. Can you imagine this conversation? "Hey, Sarah, there is a thing I need to tell you. Tomorrow I'm going to kill our son." "What? Not before I kill you? Are you kidding?" You know, you can't even imagine. So he didn't even mention it to her. Isaac was God's promise. It was the son whom Abraham was waiting all of his life. Everything in Abraham's life was around Isaac, about this promise, that he's going to become this father of multitude. And, you know, nation will come out of it. It was all supposed to be coming from Isaac. But now God's telling, go and kill him. Are you kidding me? What's happening? It's a contradiction. It's a contradiction. What kind of request is it anyway? I can almost imagine Abraham saying, "Lord, are you sure you don't want Sarah? I can bring her to the altar, but why Isaac? Why are you taking my Isaac?" The first thing that we learn about Jehovah Jireh reveals himself in our drama. He reveals himself in a season of contradictions. Abraham found himself between a rock and a hard place. Does it sound familiar? He revealed himself when Abraham was up a creek without a paddle. You're face to face with a situation that confuses you. Why is this? Why now? That's not fair. That makes no sense. That place, it's exactly the place where Jehovah Jireh shows up. Abraham, God is about to call your name and introduce you to another dimension of Jehovah that you didn't know before. Some of you, you know my story, and I'm not going to take time to go in depth of it. When I was in my early 20s, I thought I figured out my life. I went to Bible school, I graduated. I was in a leadership in a big church in Kyiv, Ukraine. My wife and I, we planted a church, and I was Bible school teacher. I started traveling with evangelist, organizing crusades for him. I was preaching all kind of youth conferences. I wrote a book. I thought I got my life figured out. I thought this is how it's going to be. I thought, well, it's good. I'm on a good, you know, trajectory too. I was excited about everything that was happening in my life. But then, through the series of circumstances, I lost it all. In a count of 6 months, we lost our apartment we lived in. We lost lots of money. I quit the ministry. I lost very important relationships in my life. I lost my reputation. Lots of things went south. Lots of things went wrong. And then, in all this chaos, we were trying to figure out what to do. So we left Ukraine. We moved to Israel. Couldn't really find ourselves there, and then we ended up moving to Canada, where I took a job as a truck driver. So for the first 4 years in Canada, I was a lone haul truck driver, driving truck from coast to coast, going to states, and pretty much living in a truck. For me, that was a season of contradictions. Lots of things that was happening in my life didn't make any sense. Because everything I thought about how my life going to be, everything that was prophesied over me, everything that I was listening in the teachings, I was learning in a Bible school, you know, it seemed like it all just crashed. All the dreams, all the hopes, all the desires, everything that I was hoping for, it just, it disappeared. That was a season of contradiction. But there is, I must tell you one thing. In this truck, I learned more about God than in any Bible school, in any conference, through any book, through any message, through anything. That truck became a place where God introduced himself to me in the way I couldn't even comprehend, in the way I could not see him before. Abraham found himself in a situation that only God could fix. That's the place where you come to the end of yourself. There is nothing you can do. And that's the place that creates the opportunity for Jehovah Jireh to show up and to reveal himself. Now, Bible says that God tested Abraham. What was this test about? Who has Abraham's heart? This test was coming down to this. Who has Abraham's heart? See, sometimes we love the blessing so much, even more than the blessor. Sometimes we're pursuing blessing more than we pursue the blessor. We chase, we treasure, we cherish the blessing. We attach our hearts to the blessing more than to the blessor. The test was, would Abraham hold back something that was so dear to his heart, or would he offer it? This test was a matter of worship. He said to the people that he was traveling with, stay here. I and the boy will go and worship. No guitars, No piano, no singing. He went in worship. It was a matter of worship. Would he offer something that he held so dear? See, guys, why it's so important? I really want you to hear out my heart. I was promising myself I wouldn't cry, because when I was preparing this message, I just couldn't stop. I was just crying every time, because it's the relationship. It's a two-way street. Relationship is a place where two parties are all in. All in. There is no room for intimacy if one party is all in but another is holding back. There is no room for intimacy. There is no room for real friendship in this kind of relationship. It takes two givers for true intimacy to take place. It's 100% of you and 100% of another person. See, intimacy, it's more than just a goosebumps. It's more than we experience when we hear our favorite tune, or, you know, we in a good mood and suddenly we feel, oh, well, it could be part of it. A good experience and feelings, God created feelings. So I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm saying that true intimacy, it's much more than that. True intimacy, it's a revelation. It's a bond with God. It's beholding the beauty of who He is. A test that Abraham was going through, it was an invitation to come closer, invitation to get nearer, to go deeper. Come closer. Jehovah Jireh is the God who invites you into intimacy with Him. Jehovah Jireh invites you into intimacy. Interesting thing to notice, when God called the name of Abraham to stop him from killing his son, He called his name twice. I know that because I grew up partly in a Jewish family, calling somebody's name twice, it's a Jewish expression of intimacy. Actually, only 7 times God called somebody's name twice, and it always was emotionally intentional. It was intensive. It was full of emotion and passion. And then later in the Bible, twice in the Bible, we see that God speaking of Abraham, and He's calling him my friend. He's calling Abraham my friend. Place of intimacy. Guys, I want you to remember this. If you forget anything else about this message, remember this. True intimacy with God is found at the altar. True intimacy with God is found at the altar. In this truck, I remember there was a night I was driving through Highway 17 in Ontario, passing those beautiful lakes, Great Lakes. I was so miserable. I felt so miserable. I looked at my life and nothing seemed to make any sense. But I remember I laid my Isaac down at the altar. I told God, you know, Lord, doesn't matter if I never even preach a message again, if I never travel on the missions and do anything that all this I was hoping for, dreaming for, I'll still love you. I'll worship you. I'll serve you. Doesn't matter. I love you. Doesn't matter what's happening. Doesn't matter even this prophetic words will never come through. I put my dreams at the altar. All my hopes, all my desires, all my plans for the future, all my agenda, everything I thought how it's going to be, I laid on the altar. I remember I experienced such a closeness to God that moment. I couldn't drive anymore. I had to stop because tears were streaming down my eyes. And you know how salt, when it goes into your eyes, you can't really see anything. So I didn't want to kill anyone driving this 53-foot trailer. So I pulled aside and I was praying. And I experienced such a closeness with God. And I was saying, Lord, look at my life. My life is such a mess. Why my life is such a mess? Look at where I am. Look at my family. Look at my health. Everything is so weird. And I just heard Holy Spirit was whispering to my heart, remember these songs you were singing? I want you. I want more of you. Draw me close to you. You're all I need. You're all I want. I'm desperate for you. Remember those songs? Remember those prayers you were playing? Draw me near. I want to be close. There is nothing I need, but I want more than knowing you, being closer. Remember those? I said, yes, Lord, I remember those. And then he said, well, here you are. Here you are. What I realized is that back then, my life wasn't about Jesus. It wasn't about living at the altar. My life was about me. Even though I did ministry, I taught in Bible school, I did some preaching. In the core of it, lots of it, it was pursuit of something for myself. Some of my agenda was satisfying my needs, affirmation, getting acknowledgement from people, whatever. It was about me. And then, back then in this truck, I decided to make a commitment, to make my life about God. Everything I am, I put on this altar. I opened my arms, said, Lord, everything I have is yours. You can use me as you please. It could be on the stage, it could be in the truck, it could be in the loading dock, it could be in the pawn shop, it could be on the mission field, it could be anywhere you want. You have me. You have 100% of who I am. Every cell of my body, every minute of my life, every breath that I take belongs to you. And it doesn't matter where you want me. I'll be there for you. It will be about you. How to walk in intimacy with God? Stay at the altar. Stay at the altar. Well, when God called Abraham and told him, don't kill your son, God said, now I know. Wait a second. What do you mean, now I know? I thought you're God who knows everything. I thought you're that God that, you know, knows it all. How come you said, now I know? If you knew I'm going to do that, why you made me do that? Why wouldn't you just, you know, I could just stay at home and you knew it anyway. See, there is a little theological curveball for you. Even though God knows everything informationally, it doesn't mean that he knows everything experientially. So when God says, now I know, you can read it, now I experienced. See, the key of intimacy, it's where the object of your love experience your love, experience your affection, experience your care, experience your passion. Then intimacy takes place. There is one statement that really dropped my heart the other day. It goes like this. Religion finds God useful, but true faith finds him beautiful. So oftentimes we look at God as something useful, something that we can get from. See, but God doesn't want us just to love him for his gifts, just for something he can do for us. Jehovah Jireh is inviting you to relationships that are deeper than just, give me that and then I'll do this. If you do this for me, then I will do that for you. He is inviting you to relationships deeper than just debtor relationships. Don't reduce Jehovah Jireh to just an ATM machine. It's much more, it's about relationship. It's about intimacy. It's a relationship where you experience his unconditional love and you love him back unconditionally. Unconditionally. There is kind of relationships, there is no ifs. No ifs. It's not like, I will love you if, or I will serve you if, I will do this if, I will give you this if. No, no. Jehovah Jireh inviting you to relationship where you lay it all down. No ifs. It's unconditional surrender. It's unconditional love. It's interesting to notice that the Mount Moriah that God told Abraham to go and bring his son in, as a sacrifice there, was 50 miles away from Beersheba, from place where Abraham lived. 50 miles away. It took Abraham 3 days to get there. Can you imagine what was going through Abraham's head while he was on this journey? He was going to sleep, waking up in the morning, I'm going to sacrifice my son. Can you imagine the agony and contradiction and tension that was he's going through? One of the things I thought, why God didn't ask Abraham to bring his son in his backyard? Like put a fire there, put a couple, you know, and just do it over there. One of the reasons, I believe, because God doesn't want it to be emotional. Sometimes, oftentimes, when we hear a good message, where we hear a good song, our emotions get triggered and we have this commitment feelings where I'll do this, I'll go, we run to the altar call and we have all these commitments. And that's good. But what about Monday? What about Tuesday? What about Wednesday? What about when you go through tough times? What about when things seem like it's falling apart? We see Abraham trusting his prior experience with God. See, Abraham already experienced the power of Jehovah Jireh, because Isaac was a miracle that God provided for him. So Abraham, he was going to this mountain thinking, I don't know how, but somehow God will make it right. I can't understand what's happening. I don't know why God asked me to do this thing. I can't understand why it's all falling apart. But somehow I know that God has a plan. Somehow I know that God is working behind the scenes. And somehow He has a plan. He is trusting. You know, there is little insight in what was happening in Abraham's head. In Hebrews 11, the Bible said that Abraham thought that he told his servant that we'll come back. So he thought that even if he kills his son Isaac, somehow God will bring it back from, he will resurrect him. So he said, I don't know. I saw God did miracles before. I can't understand what's happening, but I'm just trusting. I'm trusting. I'm not going to hold back because I can't understand what's happening. I will trust my God. So what was happening? Jehovah Jireh was bringing Abraham to the new level of trust. And let me tell you what this level is. There are some times that it's very difficult to trust God's hand because we don't see what's happening. So God was teaching Abraham to trust his heart. When you can't trust God's hand, trust his heart. Trust the goodness of his heart. I know that a lot of you going through tough times. Some of you get notice from a doctor that you probably only have so many weeks or months to live. It's very difficult. Some of you lost your jobs or going through different seasons. Maybe you started your business, you thought it's going to go one way, suddenly it's all crashing. You have debts and things like that, and you just can't understand what's happening. Don't lose faith in the goodness of God's heart. Keep on trusting His heart. God is working behind the scenes. He has a plan. He holds you. He knows where you are. He sees you. You're about to experience the fullness of Jehovah Jireh. It's interesting to notice that as Abraham was climbing at this mountain with his son Isaac, the ram was probably coming up from the other side. Abraham didn't see it, but provision was already made. Jehovah Jireh is a faithful God. He is a faithful God. The provision for your life, anything you can possibly need, was already made, done, completely made. Find peace in rest in this truth, that your provision was already made, provided for, paid for, done. But interesting that Abraham didn't see it till Jehovah Jireh opened his eyes. And suddenly, oh, here you go. Here's this ram. And it's funny that this ram was caught in a thicket with his horns. It didn't make any noise. How come Abraham didn't see it before? Because till Jehovah Jireh opened his eyes, Abraham couldn't see this provision. But that happened only when Abraham completed this task, his act of obedience. When Abraham came to this place of complete softness of his heart, place of brokenness of his heart, it's a place where your heart starts singing this song, everything and nothing less. I lay it all down. No ifs, no conditions. I lay it all down. When your heart gets to this state, Jehovah Jireh comes out. And you see, your eyes open and you see the ram that was provided. God doesn't need your Isaac. Nothing wrong with Isaac. God gave Abraham Isaac, and it was God's plan for Isaac to live. You need it. It's important for you to bring everything on the altar, because when you do that, it makes your heart soft. It makes your heart capable to encounter Jehovah Jireh. It makes your heart capable to enter in this relationship of intimacy with God. It's not longer about do this and I'll do that. I'll do this if you give me this. It's all rubbish. It's all shallow. He's inviting you to go deeper. This story ends in verse 14 where Abraham called, verse 14, he said, it says that Abraham called this place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Where is this mountain? I want to go on this mountain, because it says on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Where is this mountain? Should I go all the way to Jerusalem? Jerusalem, where this mountain is? Show me the mountain. I want to have provision. I want to have Jehovah Jireh show up in my life. Where should I go? Can I suggest you this morning that this mountain, it's not a location. It's a posture. It's a posture of obedience and posture of surrender. It's a posture of everything and nothing less. I give it to you, Lord. It's a posture of complete surrender. That's the place where you meet Jehovah Jireh. That's the place where you encounter the fullness. You have the full experience of Jehovah Jireh. When you take this posture, I give you everything and nothing less. What happens? You align your heart with God's character. Because this is the way God gives. He holds nothing back. This is his DNA. This is how he operates. He can't understand. It's like I'm speaking into this mic. Over there, there's a receiver. They need to be synchronized in the same sequence. Sequence that God's operating, he holds nothing back. So in order for us to encounter fullness of him, of Jehovah Jireh, we need to understand this sequence. We need to align our heart. We need to understand how it is to get to this place of everything and nothing less. Then you communicate on the same level. Then you speak in one frequency. Then you experience the fullness of Jehovah Jireh. Stay on that mount. Stay at the altar. And you will see Jehovah Jireh mightily, mightily moving in your life and manifesting yourself the way you couldn't even imagine. This fullness of manifestation, we can read starting from verse 15, where a Bible says, the angel of the Lord, and we know from our theology studying that every time the Bible says the angel of the Lord, and it's Lord like capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it refers to Christ himself. Angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, because you have done this, you have not withheld your son from me, your only son, I will surely bless you and I will make your descendants. And he goes on and on and on and on. Jehovah Jireh provider showed up at this mountain of the Lord, on the mountain of surrender, on this at the altar, and he told Abraham, I'm holding nothing back. Everything here for you. And then when you read Genesis 24, it's a summary of Abraham's life. I don't have it in my notes, but verse 1 says that when Abraham was old, it says that God blessed him in every possible way, every possible way, every possible way. When Jehovah Jireh starts working in your life, oh, every possible way. How come God could ask for such an extravagant sacrifice? When you think about it, it's quite a big thing to ask. Bring me your only son. This one. Yes, this one's the one you love. How come God could ask such an extravagant sacrifice? Did you know that Mount Moriah and Mount Golgotha is the same place? It's exactly the same location. Literally, it's the same mountain. Mount Golgotha, Mount Calvary. It's the same place. It's a place where 1800 years later, God held nothing back. It's a place when the main provision was made. That's a place where Lamb of God was sacrificed for us. It's a place where the same way as Isaac was carrying wood for a sacrifice, Son of God, Jesus Christ, was carrying cross on his shoulders. That's why God could ask for 100% from Abraham. Because this is how he gives. This is why God asking you, 100% of you, 100% of everything you are. Because he gave you 100% of everything he is. Everything for everything. This is a place where you meet Jehovah Jireh. Now, Romans 12:1 makes sense. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasant to God. This is your true and proper worship. In view of this mercy, of view of this sacrifice, in view of what God did, in view of who God is, how he gives, how he holds nothing back, Paul says, now you offer your bodies, your lives, your money, your time, everything you are, pour it as offering. Pour your life as an offering. This is your true and proper worship. Do you want to join really cool worship team? You don't need to learn to play guitar. You don't need to learn to sing harmony. You don't need to learn to play piano or trumpet or whatever they do there in their worship bands. This is a real cool worship band. It's a place where you come and you offer your life for your Savior. This is a true and proper worship. You will see throughout this series, all the names we will be studying, they all point to one name. All Jehovah names, they all point to one name. Jehovah Yeshua. God is my salvation. Jesus. Fullness of God was revealed in Jesus. Bible says that fullness of God dwells in Jesus. All these names are pointing to him. Jehovah provided this lamb as a sacrifice so we can have a relationship with him. Thank you, Jesus. See, we fall short the glory of God every single day in our lives. That's why it was so important for the sacrifice to occur. Because we can't stand in the presence of Jehovah just as we are. We are not good enough. But because of Jesus, because of the sacrifice, because he took our sins upon himself, now we can stand in front of Jehovah, in front of our God. Not because of us doing good, because not because we're good, but because he is good for us. Thank you for this sacrifice. And if you don't know Jesus today, I'm telling you, You can't go on without Jesus. Life just doesn't make sense without relationship with God. And you will ask me, how can I get to Jesus? How can I enter into this relationship? Just call His name. There is no magic prayers. There is no magic words you need to say. There is no some moves you need to do. Just call upon His name. Call this name Jesus. Jesus. This is what I did when I was 16 years old in 1996. I called upon the name Jesus when I realized how God loved me and said Jesus died for me. I was calling His name. Bible said everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Just call His name. Call His name. Church, I want to do something different this morning. I know that sometimes here when we gather together, we open this place as an altar. And we invite people to come and respond. Since you're at home, and if you're anything like me, probably laying in your bed, eating your eggs, why don't you make your living room the altar? Why don't you make your bedroom your altar? Why don't you make your kitchen or your backyard or wherever you are? Why don't you make it your altar? If you really want to meet Jehovah Jireh, He is inviting you to this place of intimacy. He has invited you to come and put at the altar everything that you are, everything that you hold dear. Just tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him. Tell Him what you feel in your heart. Tell Him, Lord, I will hold nothing back because You held nothing back. I give You 100% of who You are. Every talent You gave me, every opportunity You gave me, every minute of my life You gave me, every breath You gave me, I surrender it. I don't want to make my life about me, about pursuing my dreams, about my agenda, about me. I want my life to be about You, Jesus. I want my life to be about You. I want to be as a living sacrifice being poured at this altar, as a living sacrifice. As You sacrificed Yourself for me and You gave me everything, You held nothing back for me. Lord, here's my heart. Here's my response today. Take everything, what I am, it's so little, Lord. But every single molecule, every single cell of my being, Lord, 100% of Anatolia is Yours. Church, just take a time. Speak your heart to the Lord. Commit and surrender. Take this posture of surrender. Your provision is on the way. Keep on trusting God's heart. Remember, Jehovah Jireh is taking you to this place of intimacy. This place of intimacy is so sweet. It's so sweet. It's sweeter than any money, sweeter than any stage, any crowd, any people's affirmation, anything that this world can give you. This intimacy with God, it's so precious. Nothing can beat that. But you can have this intimacy at the altar. Stay at the altar, church. Stay at the altar. Today, tomorrow, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, live at the altar. And I'm praying so Jehovah Jireh will show up in your lives and will fully manifest everything who He is into your lives, your families, your circumstances. I speak blessing. I speak peace in your lives in the name of Jesus.